Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are All Is True, The White Crow, and Ask Dr. Ruth. And as I said to David, this is actually a haiku, but I didn't do it in haiku version.
No, apologize. It's true. If you stitch together these titles once again, you'll have something very poetic and mysterious. However, the three films actually are sort of connected. This week we have, as we sometimes do, a kind of a theme, which is that these are all basically biopics. They are all movies that deal with real people. The first two are, well, let's see, All Is True is about William Shakespeare, so therefore it's obviously a historical drama. The second one, The White Crow, is about much more recent history. It's about the great Soviet dancer Rudolf Nureyev. And the third one is an actual documentary. The first two are biopics. They are fictionalized movies that, you know, that tell real things about real people. Ask Dr. Ruth is an actual documentary, so we'll get to that one in a little while. But first of all Is True. This is a movie by Kenneth Branagh, who directed it from a screenplay by Ben Elton. And Kenneth Branagh plays the main role, which is William Shakespeare. And it's all kind of interesting because Branagh has done a number of Shakespeare. He's done a lot of Shakespeare in the theater, but he's also done a number of Shakespeare films, ranging from Henry V to Hamlet, etc. And I have to say, the movie that first put Branagh on the map as a major filmmaker was his movie of Henry V many years ago, which was very sort of naturalistic and sort of gloomy, meant as a kind of riposte to the very colorful and in some ways beautifully artificial Henry V that had been done much earlier by Laurence Olivier. I so far prefer Olivier's film of Henry V to Branagh's, and right from that moment I became skeptical of Branagh, both as a director and as an actor. He's done some interesting work, and he's also done, I think, some really poor work over the years, but now he returns to Shakespeare again in a different way, playing William Shakespeare in this movie which he has directed, and I think this is Branagh's best movie. Not everybody likes it. One critic said that, forget about whether it's all true, I would have settled for some of it being interesting. I totally disagree with that. I think it's really quite a marvelous movie, a really, really, really good film. So first of all, the title, All Is True. This actually, interestingly, was a kind of a working title or an original title for Shakespeare's extremely major play, Henry VIII. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's really not one of its extremely major plays, not compared with the other Henry plays. But anyway, that play for a while was called All Is True, and Branagh has borrowed that title. It's actually not clear how much in the movie All Is True is actually true, because it deals with the very last years of Shakespeare's life, and we don't know a whole lot about that, historically speaking. Here we have Branagh playing the old Shakespeare, and what happened, and you know, again, some of this is true and some of it is just imagined by the movie, but Henry VIII was being performed at the Globe Theater, the theater where so much of Shakespeare's work was performed during his lifetime, and there was an accident involving a prop cannon during one of the performances, and the building caught fire, and the Globe Theater burned down, and that was the end of the Globe Theater. They couldn't rebuild it. It was way too devastated for that. So Shakespeare just sort of took this occasion to retire, and he went home to his family, and he lived out his last years there. And that is what All Is True is telling about. And we have the old Shakespeare mourning the death of his very young son, Hamnet. That's something that was really true. His young son was named not Hamlet, but Hamnet, and he had died as a child. And we have Branagh mourning his death and sort of hanging out in his garden and thinking about young Hamlet. And we have him talking with his wife. We have a very memorable visit that the old Shakespeare receives from his patron, the Earl of Southampton, who the movie suggests may also have been Shakespeare's lover at one point. And we have Shakespeare hanging out with his wife, Anne Hathaway, and so forth. So what is really best about All Is True, the movie, I find, is its mood. It is a very sort of it's a movie of Shakespeare's twilight years, and it has kind of twilight mood to it. It is slow, it is moody, it is contemplative, it is introspective, and I find it very, very effective at doing all of those things. I just found it a wonderful movie to just sort of sink into. Branagh looks nothing like Branagh. He looks like a portrait, the most famous portrait of Shakespeare. That was the only one painted from life. And Branagh just looks just like him. It doesn't look like a phony makeup job. It looks really like Shakespeare, beautifully done. Judi Dench, wonderful actress, gives a very fine performance as Anne Hathaway, Shakespeare's wife. Ian McKellen is superb as the Earl who comes to visit Shakespeare, and we have these two old men, and at one point they both recite from Shakespeare. They both recite from one of the sonnets the same lines, and it's like one of these wonderful sort of contests where these two men give different interpretations to the lines. When we have Kenneth Branagh and one of the great actors of our time, Ian McKellen, doing this, it's a wonderful, wonderful scene. So whether or not you're into Shakespeare, whether or not you're into the Elizabethan age, whether you're not into any of those things, I totally recommend All Is True. I just found it a wonderful, wonderful movie about two old men. Well, it's really about one old man. The Earl is only in there for a little while, but it's about an old man thinking back over his life, living in his last years, having had a wonderful career, not being sure what the rest of his life will hold. And again, I just found it a very beautiful, contemplative, meditative, introspective movie. I recommend All Is True very highly. Second movie for today is a very different kind of biopic. It is called The White Crow, which is just an expression from Russian that means basically someone who does not fit in, who is sort of a misfit. And we have here a movie about Rudolf Nureyev, the very, very great dancer, who during the early years of the Cold War, that's not really true, not the earliest years of the Cold War, but early in the Cold War, in the early 1960s, defected to the West. And this was the first time anything like this had happened, and it was a huge event for international geopolitics and a very huge event for the Soviet Union, which was very, very discombobulated and embarrassed and humiliated by this in the eyes of the world. So again, this is a biopic about Rudolf Nureyev, and it jumps around through time throughout the whole movie. We have his childhood at some points. He grew up in a very, very underprivileged family. There was no money. There was no this, no that. But his talent as a dancer was recognized, and he started to get the training that would be needed to turn him into a very great dancer. We also have him in his years of training as a young man, and with his main teacher, whose name was Pushkin, not the great Alexander Pushkin, the great Russian poet, but his name happened to be Pushkin. And he is played by Ralph Fiennes, who, by the way, directed this movie. So we have that also scattered throughout the film. And then we have his, shall we say, mature years. He's still a very young dancer, but he's starting to become internationally known. And this is when he ultimately decides to defect to the West. Nureyev is played in this movie by a very, very, very good actor, a young actor, who is, his name is Ivenko, and he is, he himself is a trained dancer, and we see a fair amount of dancing in The White Crow. Obviously, it's a movie about Rudolf Nureyev. I wish there were even more dancing in it. There's not enough, and there are not enough extended sequences of dancing. I wish there were more of that. But this is a biopic, so they have to sort of judiciously choose about how much to tell about Nureyev's life and how much to show of sort of recreations of his dancing. And I think that Ivenko does a very, very fine job. Oleg Ivenko, the main, he's a good actor, he turns out to be, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of him, even in movies that have nothing to do with dancing. Very, very good cast overall. Ralph Fiennes, again, who directed this movie, as a director, he's only directed three movies, and he has a taste for the highbrow. He made a movie of Shakespeare's Coriolanus. He made a movie that deals with Charles Dickens called The Invisible Woman, because it's about Charles Dickens' great love affair. Now a movie about Nureyev. So he tends to lean towards sort of highbrow topics and Fiennes also plays the dancing coach, the dancing teacher, Pushkin, and gives a very, very quiet, restrained, understated, almost self-effacing performance, which contrasts nicely with Oleg Evenko's portrayal of Nureyev himself. Nureyev is portrayed interestingly in the movie. We see how incredibly gifted he is, and we see also how he is incredibly arrogant. And he becomes a very obnoxious person in a lot of ways. We see him, for example, causing a big scene in a restaurant, not because there's anything wrong with the restaurant, just because he now regards himself as the great Nureyev, and he can do and say whatever he feels like, including making scenes whenever he feels like it. So we see this side of his personality. We see a little bit of his somewhat unorthodox sexuality, his bisexuality. That is not played up much in the movie, and the gay side of his nature is in the movie, but very, very little, and some people feel there should have been much more attention paid to that. But hey, it's a movie that's telling a fairly important story, and again, it has to leap among the different sort of just ordinary biopic aspects. Who was Nureyev? Where did he come from? How did he become so great? And then his defection and so forth. So it's got a lot to squeeze in, and it does a pretty good job of balancing those things, I think. And of course, the end of it is his actual defection, which took place almost on the spur of the moment at an airport. He defected to Paris, and that part has a kind of a suspense movie feel to it. So The White Crow is not a great biopic, but if you have any interest in the world of ballet, which I do, and if you have any interest in the world of Cold War geopolitics, it's a well-made movie with a wonderful performance by this young dancer, Oleg Evenko, and I think, again, we'll be seeing more of him. And the final movie for today, Jill, is the one real documentary of the bunch, and it is made by the director Ryan White, and it is about Dr. Ruth K. Westheimer, the very famous sexologist, the woman who became an enormously important and popular and influential sex discusser on television and on radio and all over the lectures all over the place. And she really was a kind of a boundary breaker in her way, because she was the first person to talk, certainly the first woman and really the first person to talk about sex, all aspects of sex, in a very, very open and uncensored way on the public airwaves, starting way back at a time when this was just not done, when there were words and things you just couldn't say or discuss on television. And she really broke through all of these boundaries one step at a time and was able to become really, really, really famous. And of course, she was quite an eccentric and appealing personality. Very, very short, little, tiny woman with, of course, that big high voice and that big Russian accent that she had. Excuse me, German accent that she had. She just became really, really an international celebrity. I assume that she is still known, at least, by just about everybody. And this is a biopic. Excuse me, it's a documentary, really, a bio-doc, which tells the story of her whole life. She lived in Germany as a child when Hitler was coming to power. She was shipped off to Switzerland by her parents, both of whom perished in the Holocaust. She was able to grow up as a child at an orphanage in Switzerland, which really saved her life totally. And we learn all about her childhood. We see photographs from that period of her life. She talks about that period of her life. She discusses it in the movie. And then we find out how she grew up and how she started to prosper. Her father had always taught her, even when she was a very, very young child, that education is the most important thing in the world because nobody can take that away from you. So she was determined to become educated, and she eventually studied psychology and got a doctorate and started working as a sex therapist. And again, all of this is covered very, very, very carefully in the movie, all of it narrated by her in her very, very engaging and humorous way. And so we see how she came of age. She was married three times, and we learn the stories of her three different marriages, including the third one, which really lasted for a long time. There are appearances by her children, her adult children in the movie, who talk about what it was like to have the world's most famous sex therapist as a mother. And all of this is in there. It's very, very entertainingly and engagingly and divertingly covered. And then also, of course, her fabulous marvelous career, including her start on television and her appearance on big shows and her getting her own show, and how at first certain words would be bleeped out and then she was able to start being more open, and how she kind of paved the way for sex therapy and for sexology to become a major topic in the media and in the sort of public discourse, rather than being something covered up. She always felt there's nothing dirty about sex because it's the most natural thing in the world. And that's how she approached it, and that was how she managed to wield her huge influence. Of course, the time was also ripe for her in the post-1960s era. But all of this is very entertainingly covered. Ask Dr. Ruth is not an adventurous movie. It is really a by-the-numbers documentary. It follows all the usual rules, but it's very entertaining, and she is such an entertaining figure that it's a lot of fun to just be in her presence for a while in this movie. So, again, three biopics today. All is True about Shakespeare, The White Crow about Nureyev, and then Ask Dr. Ruth, an actual documentary about Ruth K. Westheimer, and they're all good movies, and I recommend them all, and that is my very upbeat story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films All is True, The White Crow, and Ask Dr. Ruth.